Good evening and welcome to our evening service, which will be led by me, Vicky. I'm one of the ministers here at the church and will be shared by Ian too, who will be bringing us God's word during the service. It's great that we can come to worship God this evening, and we are being reminded of how God came down to earth in this evening service. And John 3, those well-known verses from John 3, 16 and 17, says this in the Message version of the Bible. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And that is why we are here to worship God this evening. That is why we are reminded at the start of, as we sing our first song this evening, of the fact that it was a wonderful morning when they went to the tomb and they discovered that Jesus had indeed risen from the grave. Join with us as we sing, See What a Morning. And so we continue in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for that reminder through John's Gospel this evening that you have come into this world because you love us. You loved us so much. You wanted all to know how much you loved us. And we thank you for the reminder of that song that not only did Jesus go to the grave, but Lord, he rose again and that he conquered death. And because he went to the cross and because he conquered death, we can come before you now as your children, your daughters and your sons, and it is to you we bring you our thanks and our praise. Lord, we offer you ourselves and we thank you for coming down to earth as your child, your son, our saviour. Amen. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 14, which of course, if we remember and know anything about the book of Exodus, we know it's the story of when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And we're joining the story this evening as Moses had indeed taken the Israelites out into the desert, and how at this point in the story, Pharaoh decided he didn't actually want the Israelites to leave. I'm reading from verses 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and we have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "What was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have brought us into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And as I thought about that, I thought how hard it must have been for the Israelites to be told that when every instinct inside of them would have been screaming to flee, to fight, to cope with the anxiety and the stress of the Egyptian army coming towards them, to hear Moses say those words, "Be still, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." How many of us at the moment are struggling with that temptation to sort things out, or to, because we're struggling with the fact that we're not actually the ones that are in control at the moment. And everybody else is telling us what we can and can't do, and we find that hard. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom, is reminding them that as he was with the Israelites there in the desert, and the whole of the Pharaoh army were after him, we may feel powerless and out of control, but the same words apply to us today. We need only to be still. As we think about our own situations, let's remember that God knows exactly what the next step for us actually is going to be. And all we need to do is to stop, to trust, and to be still. We sing again, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. He's here, he's with you where you are. He's in each one of our situations." Let's sing. A number of us have been enjoying the prayer course via Zoom on a Wednesday evening. And one of our recent sessions was on the whole complicated and fraught question of what happens when God doesn't hear or seemingly answer our prayers. Of course, he always hears them, but sometimes he doesn't seem to answer them. And it's very hard when it's in situations like that. When we feel that our prayers aren't being answered, we feel pain. We feel a sense of uncertainty and a sense of fear, perhaps. A fear that maybe our faith isn't big enough, or God doesn't care enough to answer our prayers. Thinking back to that passage from Exodus, with the whole army descending on Moses and the Israelites, that sense of fear, of wondering, will God answer? After each of the prayer Zoom sessions, we send out some handouts, and one of the handouts that related to the whole question of unanswered prayer says this: unanswered prayer implies that we experience grief and disappointment. Our hopes and expectations have been unfulfilled. Loved ones have been lost. Dreams have been smashed. And God hasn't come through as we thought he might. And it is here that we must remember that pain is not the enemy. Pain is simply pain. Pain needs to be expressed, for pain that is never expressed can never be transformed. And pain that is not transformed will be transmitted. For those of us in tonight's service who have experienced that sense of fear, of pain, of uncertainty, or that our prayers don't seem to be being answered, or experiencing emotions or questions about our faith or our life in a way we never have before, we are wondering, is God listening to our prayers? We've already sung, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." And a couple of weeks ago in the morning, I was talking about God always being with us, no matter what we were facing. And we're going to come now in a time of prayer. And we know that God is listening. But we're going to start off by voicing maybe some of that pain and uncertainty and fear that is trapped inside us. We're going to be able to voice that where we are this evening. We're going to loosely use a prayer that was written by a Baptist minister, Katrina Gorton, for such a time as this. And so I invite you to pray. Dear Father God, these are troubled times. There are times of violence and hatred in a world that is marred by war. Times of anxiety and uncertainty in a world wounded by greed. Times of sadness and loss in a world of vulnerability and finitude. Times of fear in a world where a new virus spreads rapidly, threatening to overwhelm our healthcare systems and leaving people weakened, questioning, uncertain. These are times when we face tough questions with unpalatable answers. And yet, we know the promise that we find in Scripture, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no ill. For you are with us, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And so, in the silence, we give to you now and we voice out our grief and our disappointment. We voice out our pain, our anger, and our hurt. We give to you our hopelessness, our fears, our questions. We give you our brokenness, our despair, our sorrow. And so we thank you. We thank you for listening, for caring, for holding us while we maybe weep and cry and mourn. We thank you for simply being there, silent but not absent. Not airlifting us out of our situation as we may want, but to parachute in to be with us, as we were reminded from that passage from John's Gospel. For being willing to share in our suffering and in our pain. And so we thank you. We thank you that we can believe and trust in you, our God, Creator of all, whose promises are faithful. We believe and trust in Jesus Christ, who redeems all and who calls us all to follow. We thank you that we believe and trust in the Holy Spirit, who inspires and sustains us in hopeful service. And so, yes, these are dark times. These are times when we needed to be reminded that God is with us. He will guide our feet one step at a time. He will illuminate our minds with new understanding and protect us from despair and isolation and emptiness, and enable us to prove our faith in resilience and fortitude. And so we ask, God, that you will grant us courage to face the challenges. You will strengthen us with faith and hope and love. You may walk faithfully alongside us as we follow you, because it is in your name we pray this, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And we continue as we pray for our world, and we give you our world. For those who, like us, are finding things difficult, draw alongside them, we pray. We give to you our government, and the decisions that they are being forced to make, where so often they are being criticized, and yet they are striving to take us forward as a country, as a nation, as a country alongside others who are all facing such difficult times and such an unprecedented situation. We thank you for our frontline workers, for those who are giving of their own lives and have indeed given of them as they have sought to care for others. We pray for those doctors and nurses and those frontline workers who have been traumatized by all that they have been through. Lord, bring them your peace, we pray. We pray for our own family and community here at RBC. For those who have lost loved ones, not necessarily related to COVID, but Lord, because of the situation, have been unable to say farewell. We pray for those who are continuing with health issues and, Lord, who have questions about their future. Lord, be with them, we pray. Be with our families who are struggling to know how next to put food on the table because their work and situation is so difficult. Or for those who are stuck at home, unable to mix with family because they have to continue to shield. We bring before you now in a moment of silence all those who are heavy on our hearts. And Father God, we thank you for Parkside. We thank you for each member of staff, each resident, all those involved in the management and the structure and the trustees who are seeking to follow strategy and to take things forward day by day. Lord God, be with them, we pray. Surround each person there with your loving arms and your protection. And we pray too for our mission partners, for Winter Gardens on Canvey Island, for Andy and Rihanna in Moldova, for Louise and Pete in Bangladesh, for Rich and the family as they minister on Church 123, for the new mission partners that we're looking to join with in time. We pray for Teddy and for Diddy. And we remember too, Amy and Chris and little baby Theo. We pray for all those who are seeking to be your light and your hope in this dark world. And we thank you that we can come before you and pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we thank you that we can sing the wonderful words that remind us that God is always abiding with us as we sing that lovely hymn, Abide With Me. Hopefully you've received your notice sheet and you will have noticed the many different things that have been going on over the last few weeks and will continue to go on. Of course, Sunday morning services at 10:30 and as you are aware, 6 o'clock for our evening service for next week too. The number of youth and children's activities that are found on the notice sheet, do pick your copy and remind people of the things that are going on. And just enable them to join in with what we have. If you're 18 to 30s, there's journeys on Tuesday evening. More information again in the notice sheet. And of course, prayer meeting on Tuesday evening. This is open to anyone. If you've not been before to a church meeting via Zoom, you are welcome. There is no restriction on who can come, just your ability to be able to join in via Zoom on a Tuesday evening. On Wednesday morning, we continue with the virtual meeting place at 10:30. And it's going to be great that we can gather in that way. There won't be a Wednesday prayer course. It's not meeting this week. So do bear that in mind. If you're normally zooming in on Wednesday evening at 7:30 for 7:45, the prayer course, it's not running this week. We're having a week's break. We also want to remind you that our offering continues to be taken each week, not in the way that we would do if you were gathered in the building, but as we are able to give through the bank accounts via the website or maybe by sending checks in to the office. We really appreciate all those who have been so faithful. If you're not able to do any of those, please do hang on to your offerings and your gifts, and you will be able to bring them at that moment when we can once again return. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that the gift of you coming down to this earth has restored a relationship between us and you. But Lord, you've blessed us in so many more ways, and we pray that through the giving that we ourselves give back to you in monetary terms, directly, indirectly, however it may come, that Lord, you will use that for your purpose, for your will, for the way that you wish us to show your love to the world around. Amen. Our reading this evening is from Acts chapter 1. And I am reading beginning at verse 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago, through David, concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. And everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. And so they called the field in their language, Acheldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living amongst us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. And then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. And then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Amen. Before Ian comes to bring God's word to us this evening, we're going to sing again, My Jesus, My Saviour.
This evening we are looking at that passage between the Ascension story and Pentecost Sunday. The calling that we need to be down to earth and live in the gap. Many of you will know that in my history and my life, before I was a minister all those years ago when I was a young man, I was in the toy nursery business, my family business. One of the things about that business is you had to plan ahead. Christmas was planned in January, in Earl's Court, where we travelled for three or four days just looking at this year's stock and this year's ideas about what's going to be big at Christmas. And we used to place our orders there in January for what we wanted to come in during the summer and in the autumn and ready for the Christmas stock. We were sighted in one of our seaside resorts down in Devon, and summer was a very big thing. Yet to buy the buckets and spades and the things that we needed for the tourists, we planned early. Although it seemed like a long time until the busy summer season, during the long, dark winter months, we had to plan for it. And gardeners, farmers, those of you who've been out using this lockdown to make your gardens look better than ever before, you know how important it is to prepare the soil, to get it ready during the long, cold autumn and winter, ready for the planting with hope and anticipation in the spring. These are times of seeming slog and work for fruitlessness. And in faith you plant maybe that potato seed or other seeds, the bulbs, in faith, knowing that before it comes up there's a long way to go. On Ascension Day, Ascension Sunday, it would be very easy to have read the first part and looked at that this morning and then jumped straight to the Pentecost theme of Acts chapter 2 and the excitement of that story time. Yet, Pentecost, with all its drama, is something that's yet to come for those in the Acts 1 account. But we're stopping for a moment this evening in the second part of Acts chapter 1. And we're going to stop and just focus in about what the disciples, the apostles, the early believers were doing at this time in preparation for what was to come. In verse 8, they received the great commission to go into all the world. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in John 21, as Jesus met those disciples in the upper room, it's phrased, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And that sense that they are called to live their life on the earth, down on earth, with our Christian message, there's a great temptation, really, to just go forward and say, right, okay, I've become a Christian now, I'm going to live, but actually life is to follow. Life is to follow. It's the eternal life that we are looking forward to. But we are called to live here on earth. We're called to live life to its fullness here on earth. And in this passage particularly, we see the emphasis about the challenge as we see the gap between Ascension and Pentecost. We could say it's dead time. Oh, come on, let's just get on with it. But it's time when the early church prepares. as we look at this passage, and if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to it in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 following. And we see first that they travelled in obedience. Jesus had clearly said to them, go and wait in Jerusalem. There was a distinct instruction to the early church to do something. Of course, the temptation when Jesus has descended to heaven, he's gone now, let's just do what we want. Why would we want to go back to Jerusalem? After all, that's where all the trouble has been. But they travelled in obedience. They went because that's what God had told them to do. Obedience. Obedience is such a big calling upon our lives. The scripture's got all sorts of commandments and instructions to the believers of Christ to follow him. And following him means following him into every aspect of our lives. Do we live in obedience? Do we live as a people who are following Christ, where he has called us to go? Remember that passage from John 21? As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. He's sending us into the same places that he went, to the same people that he went for. The early church, they travelled in obedience. But then in verse 14, we read these words. It helps if you don't turn over two pages of your Bible at the same time. They joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. The constantness of prayer. Here they are, joined together. The importance of spending time with God and with one another. And here it's significant that they joined with the women and Mary. That's culturally different to what they had been used to in the past. The women would have prayed separately. The men would have prayed separately. Now they're praying together. There is an equality coming in place in the early church. The church is already becoming revolutionary and transforming the situation, transforming the world as it is known. But they joined in constant prayer. Verse 15. Peter stood up among the believers and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled. There was a prompting of God that they were open to and listened to. As we spend time in prayer, as we spend time together focusing in on our relationship with God, there will at times become a prompting to do something about what God has called us to do. Maybe you say, I'd love to hear from God. Spend time with him. Be quiet. Be open. The quiet bit maybe is what we struggle with in a prayer, and in our prayer course we have been seeing the different dimensions and different ways of praying. And how often do we just try to constantly tell God as opposed to listen to God? And then they fulfilled the scriptures. They lived and did what the scriptures had said needs to happen. They understood the scriptures. They were people of the scriptures. They had read them. They were learned people now. And it's interesting that they say the scripture had to be fulfilled. And they cite Judas is hanging. It's interesting is even in here, because we always think about the Holy Spirit coming up on the church on the day of Pentecost, and yet in Acts chapter 1 it says the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas. The sense of the Holy Spirit speaking through the authors of the Old Testament and the church taking that as serious. We need to do what the Holy Spirit says. And so what did they do next? Well, they got on with the business. God had said something, the scriptures had said something, we better get on and do it. Oh, it would be so easy to just wait. Let's wait until the Holy Spirit comes, and then God, we've got the power, and God will give us everything we need. Why do we need to do this now? But they continued. Even in this empty time, this gap time, Jesus has ascended, the Holy Spirit had not yet come. They got on with the business that needed doing, so that when God said go, they were ready. And then in verse 23 we see that they were open to being led by God. So they nominated two men, Joseph and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. The sense of God, this is here. Now direct us. Show us. Of course, in our Baptist church meetings, that's what we do. We pray, Lord, for discernment, for God's direction. And in the early church, they trusted God to lead and direct. And in verses 25 and 26, we see how they trusted one another. They trusted the discernment of one another as they cast lots. It wasn't just the disciples, it wasn't just Peter who was making the call, it was the early church preparing for a decision. And when they made that decision, they united around that decision. In the dark, the church got ready for action in the light. And in one way, we are at a similar point. Everything seems to have been put on hold. Everything has stopped. Is this our time of preparation? Is it time for us to get ready to be involved? Let me just go through those points again. They travelled in obedience. Have you lived in obedience, that which God has placed upon your heart to do? Have you stepped out in the way that God has called you to step out? Secondly, they joined in constant prayer. There may not be a lot we can do at the moment, but we can pray. We can intercede, we can spend time praying and letting God lead us. It's important we intercede, it's important we listen to God at this time. We're going into an unknown world, we're going into an unknown place. And as a church, we're starting to do the plans of gathering together and getting ready for when we can come back to church. And plans are being drawn up for that. But we're needing God's wisdom. We're needing God's direction. Nothing's being done without prayerful consideration. They listen to the prompting of God. Are you open to God prompting you to talking into your life? Have you spent time asking God and seeking God for his direction? Maybe at this time of darkness, is a calling of God's going to take you somewhere different you didn't know you were going to go? Maybe with your occupation, your work. Maybe with your ministry that God is calling you to a different place. They did what the scripture had told them. And they got on with the business. I think it's the beginning of last year, we gave everybody a round to it. It was the year before, I remember. A round piece of card that talks about getting on with what God has called us to do. And so often people are saying, I will do it when I get around to it. And maybe we need to get our round to it out again and say, right, God, what are you calling me to do now? Where are you calling me to go? And so we can be open to being led by God. Ready for the next chapter. There are going to be new opportunities, new callings, new decisions, new things to do when all this is over and life comes back to its new norm. We need to be ready for that. We need to be ready spiritually by spending time with God and building up our discipleship. We need to be ready practically by getting things in place. And we need to be ready mentally by seeking God's healing and wholeness. And so, with his ascension story and these disciples in the gap, rooted on earth, feet on earth, it's time that we got ready. We held steady so that when God moves, we are ready to go. Nothing holding us back. The disciples prepared in advance. Now is the time for preparation. Let God prepare your heart. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who works in us. You have called us. And you work through us. We thank you, Lord, as we see in the early church, you trusted your mission to your disciples, to the early church, to build your church, to make the good news of Jesus known. And Lord, as we are in our homes right now, we pray, Lord, that you will use us. Lord, in this time of darkness, we pray you will minister into our lives. You will prepare us, and we will be prepared for life after this lockdown. And Lord, as we look forward to the Pentecost Sunday next week and the coming of the Holy Spirit, may we in preparation be ready for you coming in new power upon our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song this evening is I Will Offer Up My Life in Spirit and in Truth. Thank you for being with us at RBC this evening and for playing a part in this service by just being there, praying, singing along. We will meet again next Sunday at 10:30 and 6 o'clock here online. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.